We are in Romans chapter 5 today. We're looking at verses 18 through 21. We look at a section in Romans, and here we begin to see, if you will, the quandary that our world finds itself in. And here's what Paul writes. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers. And Heavenly Father, sometimes that's a tough fight. We ask that you would help us this morning. Arm us with some more tools for that battle, that we would be victorious through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, speak to us. Let your message fall upon our ears and our hearts. And may our lives be enriched, challenged, and made new because of it. I ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ, that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Paul tells us in this passage that there are two dominions. There's sin and death, and justification and grace in life. That under one we are under condemnation, and under the other we are under righteousness and grace. I don't know about you, but I like grace a lot more than I like condemnation. I know a few times in my life when people have been gracious to me when they shouldn't have been, and it really changed me. This message talks about something that brings forth the distinction for us who believe in Jesus Christ and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and the difference in the way we understand ourselves and our life. Many years ago, I heard a message about the cross and the shadow of the cross. And for a long time, I used to think shadows were dark places in a rather lit area. Then I understood it a little differently after hearing that message. And what it said is that the cross stands there and casts a shadow of covering. So that when you're in that shadow, what's on the other side of the cross doesn't see you, but the shadow of the cross, and you're covered by it. So you're safe there. But if you're outside the shadow, you're exposed and vulnerable to attack. And when I heard it like that, I said, you know, that makes sense. Because if I can be covered by the shadow of the cross, then God's covering is on me. But if I'm not under the shadow of the cross, then I have no protection, no friend in the face of battle. I'm in trouble. Big trouble. When I heard that, I said, this is a message I needed. When you look at this passage in Paul, Paul begins to delineate between in the shadow and out. He talks about that sin and death reigned under condemnation. If you read that, through one man, sin entered, and we all came under the power of sin. We're all stuck in that boat. Some of us still sit in that boat. But there are some of us who have tasted of the mercy of Jesus Christ and have moved from that dominion to the dominion of grace. That transition, that change in our life is a big one. At times, it's very subtle the way it looks from the outside. But on the inside is a big difference. Paul goes on to say that one man, his offense brought judgment by one man, and his righteousness, the free gift, came upon us all. And then he says, unto justification of life. Now to me, justification sounds like I'm defending something. Well, you know, I have to make excuse or justify why I did what I did. But justification of life doesn't mean that. When Jesus Christ brings justification of life, it means that all of our faults, all our sins are covered, and justified means cleansed or righteous when you're under the cross, in its shadow, when it covers you. I don't know about you, but I would not like to go in the presence of the living God unrighteous, uncovered, and unprotected. A God who asks for perfection and is perfect. I can't measure up without help. You cannot measure up without help either. Now, I say that for a reason, because our pride gets in the way of grace. We say a lot of times, I can handle this, I can do this, I don't need God's help. But that's what's called ego stepping in. Our false pride. You know what? Ego is an acronym for ease God out. If I can do it, I don't need God. I can handle it. But you know, there's only one thing you can change in this world. And there's only one thing you can do anything about. And if you want to know what it is, you take yourself a little piece of chalk and hold it down on the ground by your feet and make a circle. Everything in that circle, you can change. Everything outside that circle is God's job. That means yesterday, tomorrow, the next hour, those aren't in that circle. Just you are in there. Your beliefs, your attitudes, your understandings, those things can change by your choice. Now your personality, God has to change that. That's something that God has to work on sometimes for a long time. And I'll share with you in a moment what I'm talking about. But Paul says that justification of life is that the grace comes over you and covers you as, I believe as Colossians says, Christ becomes the propitiation for our sin. Which means it covers our sin. He covers our faults, our wrongdoings, and our enslavement to the power of sin. One way you might say it is we're trapped in this thing until Christ gets us out. We're stuck. We can't get out of that power of sin and sin's dominion and reign over us without Jesus Christ. So when Christ comes over us, we stand in His shadow, and when we are being challenged, if you will, or judged, Christ is our covering. And we all know that in Him is perfection. That He fulfills the requirement of the law. If you read in the Old Testament, this might be another way to understand it, is the Holy of Holies, where the priests went on the Day of Atonement to get an overlooking of the sins for the past year, he'd take blood And he'd sprinkle it throughout that holy place one day a year, the Day of Atonement. And he'd sprinkle it especially on the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because inside that Ark of that Covenant were three things. There was Moses' staff, there was manna, which had fallen from heaven, and there were the Ten Words, or the Ten Commandments, that were carved by the finger of God inside that Ark of the Covenant. Which means the law is covered by that blood. The power of God, which we sometimes deny in our life by the staff, is covered by that blood. And God's provision for us in the manna is covered by the blood. When we start to try to think we can do it without God, He covers all that thinking with His blood. We are so used to running our own lives and doing our own thing and making our own lives the way they need to be. But at times we realize that God is trying to shake us up a little. If you look around this country and around this world, you'll see that the deterioration of the moral climate has been ongoing for a long time. And you'll see that the dominion of sin and death says that you worry about yourself and your appearance and what you're like and your comfort and your strength and your body odor and your hair color and your hair shape and cleanliness. All this, it's all about you. Nowhere in Scripture does this say in here, this is all about you. It says it's all about Jesus. And if you're all about you, you're easing Him out. And you're all about self instead of about Jesus. Paul says when you begin to have that mentality, you begin to deteriorate and begin to slip out of that shadow, and His covering can't cover your concern about you. He's trying to get you to be a grace-filled person. To be gracious and loving. He's trying to get you to love others as He has loved you. That's His task, is to bless you by blessing others. Scripture tells us, in blessing, you will be blessed. Not in looking out for myself, I'll be blessed, but in blessing others with blessing, it comes. On paper, that doesn't make sense. I have a serious affliction. I was telling Linton earlier this morning, and I thought I'd share this with you. I have a serious affliction. I haven't found a cure for it yet. I hope I do. But I'm a Cubs fan. That's a problem. Because every year we say, maybe next year. Usually by the first month of the season. It's tough. But I have this affliction because on paper, they should win it all. They look really good on paper, but since 1908, they haven't won a thing. They found ways to not look good where it counts. So on paper is not where life is lived either. And on paper, when God says, if you give away to all you have and bless others, you will find a great blessing. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't work on paper. But on paper, we don't take account for the provision of God, how the Holy Spirit works, and how Jesus Christ moves in this world. That doesn't fit on paper. Somewhere along the way, on the paper, you have to make room for, and then God does something. You bless another, and then God does something, and He brings a blessing to you. But you can't put God's blessings on paper, because you don't know what they are until you start blessing others. Almost doesn't seem fair, does it? But the measure you give is the measure you receive. But it is God who's measuring it back to you. I don't know if you like that equation, but I like that a lot better. If I give everything I have and God gives me everything He has, who's going to have more? If God gave me everything He has, it's a lot more than the little bit I got, isn't it? And He's measuring it back to me the same way I'm measuring it out to Him. But the worst thing about it is if I give Him nothing, I get a whole bunch of nothing back. If I give 1% of who I am to God, He gives me 1% of who He is. And you know, that 1% is pretty powerful, but I'd rather have all of God. I'd rather have the full blessing and peace. But what happens in this world is that doesn't work on paper. You have to watch your back, look out for number one, take care of your family, let the next generation worry about themselves and things like that. But I personally don't want my legacy to be have to clean up by my kids. That my kids would have to make excuse for my life. I don't want that. What I'd rather have is my children and their children and their children would say, this man lived for God and he set a standard and a principle for our family that will go for generations and speak long after I'm gone. That kind of thinking says, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this because God says if you do the right thing, He will bless you with the results. Some of you may have heard it like this. It's called trust the process. And that simply means that if you continue to do the right thing, you don't have to worry about what happens because the right thing will result in God's plan. You don't have to make excuse for that. Now you might say, well, I've done the right thing all my life and all I've gotten is heartache and loss. But if you're investing in the result and you're doing the right thing to get a reward, you've already got your reward when you did the right thing. God says if you do the right thing because it's who you are and you're gracious and loving because it's who you are, no matter what happens, you're okay with it because that's God's worry, not yours. If I invest in something out of the goodness of my heart and nothing good comes from it, I'm okay with that because I didn't expect it. I said, God, You run my life. This is how it works. But that doesn't play out on paper, does it? You can't do that in the banking industry, I don't think, and say, well, we'll just let them have the money and trust it. Maybe they'll pay it. It just doesn't work on paper that way. But we're not dealing with dollars and pennies. We're dealing with life and people. And we are unpredictable people. We act in certain behaviors, but nobody can tell you what you're going to do next. Only you know. That's your choice. That's your circle that you're influencing. So Paul says, in one of those walks of life, we're either walking in sin and darkness, which results in condemnation, or we're walking in grace, and our lives become justified. Or it means they become a joyous light of testimony. Under grace. When I began to realize what Paul was talking about here was from a person who I did not expect to teach me this lesson. There's a great big guy. I mean big as in tall. Harry, you would think he was tall. That's how tall. And strong, in shape, dressed to the nines, I mean to the tens and elevens even. His hair was perfect. There wasn't a flaw on this guy. And he came to an annual meeting down in Florida I went to speak. And he missed the first 2 days for prior commitments. And he was going to speak the last night, the night when everybody wants to leave. And I didn't want to hear him. When I looked at him, I said, this man looks too polished. He's oozing GQ. I can't handle savvy like that. A preacher ought to be more, well, homely. You don't expect a preacher to come in and look like someone who's famous or out of this world amazing type person. You expect someone you can relate to, not someone... Well, I looked at him and I said, I don't like this guy. I don't want to hear what he said. And I was ready to get up and go, but I sat down next to a preacher and I said, this is kind of funny. I sat in the next to last row, like a pretty good Methodist. And in the next to the last row, I sat down next to the preacher who was at the annual meeting with me, and I looked at him and I said, I want you to know I normally sit in the third row from the front, but I'm sitting back here because I don't want to hear this guy, and when he starts talking, I'm leaving. So I'm sitting in this next to the last row because I want to leave, but I just wanted to make an appearance. In other words, I wanted to look good too. Just like he did. But I didn't see it that way. I saw that I was making an appearance and leaving. Well, the man only said one sentence that I heard. He got up, his big, deep, booming voice, and he said, if your life is hopeless, broken, you're struggling, sin has destroyed you, you got no hope, and life is crashing down on you, and you think there's no way out, I want you to know the cross went further in your life than that ever could have possibly hoped to. I don't know what he said after that, and I thought I was going to leave, but instead he started me thinking. This guy got me with one sentence, the first one. I didn't hear anything else. He was up there moving around, but God was dealing with an issue that Paul brings here to our attention. That where sin increases, grace has to go farther. And I was there arguing with God while this man was preaching. And I said, God, this man just said that your grace goes further than the sin and destruction and the loss in my life. And I don't see it happening. And he said, well, there's a condition. He said, you have to give me those situations. And do you know what I said to God? I said, God, but if I let you have that, it means I got no plan B. If you don't come through, I have to take care of this. And if I give it to you, I'm sunk if you don't cover it. That's what I told God. And you know what he said? He said, that's why I can't bless your life. Because you won't let me have it. Where the sin increases, grace goes further. Where life feels scary and you feel like if you let God have it, you're going to fall off the edge. And if you don't let Him have it, you can still survive. Which is basically what I was doing. Surviving, not prospering in grace. And we stand in the edge and we never let God have it all. And so we never find out what it's like to throw ourselves fully into the hands of God. The guy got done preaching. I said to the guy next to me, I said, come up and pray for me. He said, what about it? I said, just pray. So we walked up there. And guys were checking their watch. They wanted to go home that bad. It was the last night of a meeting. And we went up there and he knelt with me and prayed. I don't remember what he said. It didn't make any sense to me. And I sat there and I said, God, I'm giving you it all this time, even these things that I'm holding back from you. You do whatever you want to do. Because I realize I've mismanaged it already. And my best thinking got me stuck. And I let him have it all. I laid it out there. And I started blubbering in the presence of the Lord and all these ministers. And when I was done, the preacher got up and we started walking back. And I was still blubbering. And I heard a guy as I was walking back, he said, I don't know what he just got, but I'm going up there to get me some of that. And when I turned around at my seat, I didn't care what was going on anymore. God was working on me. But I saw 10 pastors up there trying to find something that they were hungry for. And I can't say that immediately all of a sudden I was happy, but there was something that happened that day that has not stopped. And that's God saying to me that no matter your situation, if you'll trust me, I'll work it out. And I can't tell you that in 4 days everything was good. But I can tell you that things began to change in me and in my world. If I told you the changes that happened in my life from that point, you would be amazed. In 3 weeks, in the Timothy sermon, you're going to hear about what God did to deliver me from a lifelong battle with depression. He delivered me. I trusted Him with that. And you know what? God wants His people covered with His protection. So where the sin increases, where the heartache increases, that's just a greater opportunity for God to reach out beyond that and show you how good He is at helping His people. He'll go any length and any distance because sin tries to go all the way too. Grace reigns when you belong to Jesus Christ. God covers you. That is what Paul says. It reigns into life. And I can tell you that that happened for me. And this is what he says. Sin reigns to death, but grace reigns through righteousness all the way into eternal life in Jesus Christ. That, for me, is a life-changing blessing. And when you believe this, that God's grace goes way beyond anything you'll ever face. There's nothing too difficult for Him. The cross goes deep enough. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace and Your peace. Ask that as we bring this service to a close, that You would draw us in Your tether and remind us of Your blessing on us and Your life and Your hope for us. May we find then the joy there and the hope there, even as we come into Your presence today. Challenge us where we need to grow, and may we surrender to You our lives, all of it. Amen. As we stand to sing number 421, you know, this is one of my favorite hymns of all time.